to side.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Dear listeners, loving Sairams and greetings from Prashant Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. You are tuned to Asia's stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony, and a warm welcome to all of you for today's Thursday Live. Joining me today, as always, is Brother Ganesh. Sairam Ganesh.
Sairam Raghu. Sairam the listeners.
And this is the segment, dear listeners, Seva and Sadhana. The time right now in our studio is 11:30 a.m. Indian Standard Time, Prashant Nilayam Standard Time. And today is 23rd of June, and it's a pleasant day here at the ashram. At the very outset, let us all collectively offer our most humble, prayerful and grateful pranams at the lotus feet of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba, the voice and the listener of Radio Sai Global Harmony. Well, dear listeners, if you are out there with us, me and Brother Ganesh, from last couple of weeks, we are discussing on the topic, the eight flowers that should be offered at the lotus feet of Bhagavan. So these eight flowers are Ahimsa, non-violence. Second is Indriya Nigraha, sense control. Daya, compassion, is the third flower. Kshama, forbearance, is the fourth. Fifth is Shanti, peace. Sixth is Tapas, that is penance. Seventh happens to be
Dhyana.
Dhyana, that is meditation. And the last flower is
Truth,
Satya. So, as I said, from past couple of weeks, we are discussing on this. And till now, we have completed four flowers, right, Ganesh?
Rather, it's been more than a couple of weeks, Raghu.
Yeah, correct.
It has been almost a month-long journey.
Yeah, 2 months.
More than 2 months. and time just flies, Raghu.
Yes. So, I think we have completed till Kshama, that is fourth flower.
Yes, we have covered till Kshama.
Yeah. So, today we'll be discussing on the fifth flower, that is peace, Shanti. So, let me begin by telling my views on what is Shanti, peace.
Yes.
So peace is a state of mind. In fact, in our mind, we get a lot of thoughts. We have a lot of feelings in us, attributes and qualities. So peace is something which will keep all these qualities and our mind in calmness. And it will lead to happiness. So, broadly classifying peace, it can be classified in two ways, that is, external peace and internal peace. External peace is something related to the noise and related to silence. It is like, generally, we see that the saints and rishis, they go to Himalayas or caves or forests to meditate, to do tapas, because they feel that they should go away from the world, because world has got a lot of noise, so they avoid this noise and find peace externally. So that is external peace. But what is more important is having internal peace. Internal peace is like keeping our mind calm. The peace is already within us, so we should discover it and keep the mind calm. Well, talking about this, I would like to, Ganesh, I would like to narrate one nice story.
Yeah.
This story is titled Picture of Peace. So what happened was, in a kingdom, the king will have a contest, and he will call all the artists of the kingdom and he will tell them to draw a perfect picture of peace.
Okay.
And he will say, whoever draws the best will get a prize.
Oh.
So all the artists will draw their picture of peace, and king will like two of them. Now he has to decide the best picture of peace among these two.
Okay.
So one picture will be like this. So it will have a calm lake.
Mm.
The lake was a perfect mirror. And around the lake there will be towering mountains.
Mm.
And overhead there will be a blue sky with the white clouds.
Mm.
So I'm sure, Ganesh, this picture looks like...
It's going to hit the top position.
Yeah, it looks like a perfect picture of peace.
Peace.
So calm river and bright sky with the white clouds.
Mm.
But there was another picture which also had mountains, but it was bare and rugged.
Mm.
And above there was a angry sky.
Mm.
With and it was raining and there was a lot of lightning and thunder in the sky.
Mm.
And next to the mountain there was a foaming waterfall.
Okay.
Now what the king sees in this second picture was really amazing. He sees behind the scary waterfall there will be one rock.
Okay.
And there will be a crack in the rock, and in that crack there will be one nest.
Mm.
A bird would have built a nest, and in that nest there will be one bird.
Mm-hmm.
And that bird will be sitting in the nest calmly.
Mm.
So, seeing these two pictures, the king will decide the second picture as the best picture.
So, that is the judgment that the king had given.
Yeah.
Mm.
He will decide that is the best picture of peace.
Mm.
Now, all will be surprised. What is this?
Mm.
And the other people of the court will be surprised. Then king will start explaining. He'll say, see, peace is not to be found externally. Peace is not that we should go away from noises, troubles and problems of the world.
Mm.
Peace is something to be found within us, and we should be in the world and find the peace within us. It's like head in the forest, but hands in the society.
Mm.
With due respect to the saints and sages who are meditating in the Himalayas and in the caves, they have found both actually, internal as well as external peace.
Mm.
They just want to go away from the world, maybe because they don't want to be attached to the world.
Mm.
But with due respect, they have found both.
Mm. Sir Raghu, as you were telling about the concept of inner peace and outer peace, I am reminded of what Swami tells about peace. He tells that is a natural tendency of man. A human being's natural tendency is to be peaceful. But as life progresses, it is man who gets into a lot of trouble and disturbs his natural virtue of peace.
Correct.
His natural nature of peace. So, why is that so? Because man is forgetting that his true nature is that.
Mm.
And Swami draws a very beautiful example, simile for this. Comparing ourselves to a musk deer.
Okay.
As you know, musk deer, it tries to find out from where the fragrance comes.
Mm.
It runs throughout the forest and tries to understand where the beautiful fragrance is coming from.
Mm.
So when it rests for a while, it's tired searching for the peace, the smell, fragrance
smell.
Outside.
Yeah. Source
of the smell.
Yeah.
And then after getting tired, it just lies down. So as it is lying down, the head of the musk deer touches the stomach of it. So then it finds out that the fragrance comes from itself.
Mm-hmm.
So man truly is forgetting that the peace is already there within him.
Yes.
It's up to us that we have to recognize it and bring it out.
Man has to discover the peace within him.
He has to rediscover rather than discover.
Correct.
Discover is something which is not seen and
which is new.
New.
Yeah.
It is like rediscovering.
Correct.
Because it's lost inside a lot of troubles and tribulations and confusion in our minds.
So again, talking about this inner peace and calming our mind, I am reminded of one nice story from Lord Buddha.
Okay.
So it seems once Lord Buddha with his disciple was going from town to town.
Mm.
And at one place when they were walking, Lord Buddha feels very thirsty.
Okay.
So he calls one of his disciples and tells him, go to the river nearby and get me some water in a pot.
Mm.
So the disciple goes to the river, and when he is about to take water from the river, which had a crystal clear water, just a bullock cart passes by the river, crosses the river. And because of this, the mud settles on the top of the water and it becomes murky brown. So now the water is not fit to be drunk. So the disciple gets disappointed and he comes to Lord Buddha and says, Lord, this is what happened. I couldn't bring. Then the Lord says, no problem, we'll wait here for some time. So they wait for about half an hour. And again, Lord Buddha says, the same disciple, go back to the river and get the water.
Okay.
Now, the disciple was sure that the water will be murky brown still. But since Buddha has commanded, he goes. And he sees that the water was not still fit for drinking. And disappointed, he comes back and tells Lord Buddha. Then Lord Buddha says, okay, no problem, we'll wait again. We'll wait for some more time. And they wait and wait. And after some time, Buddha again tells the same disciple, go back. Go to the river. Now the disciple will go to the river, and to his surprise, he will find that the river will have crystal clear water.
Okay.
So he will he'll be very happy, and he will put his pot and take the water and get it to Buddha, and Buddha will drink the water. Then Lord Buddha will tell the disciple, see, what did you do now that you got the crystal water? Then disciple said, I didn't do anything. So Buddha says, see, you have to give time for the mud
To settle.
To settle in the river bed. Only then you will get crystal clear water. Same is the case of mind. You should give time for the mind to settle down. Only then the inner peace will come.
So as you are telling this story, Raghu, I think that when the mind is in a state of calmness, even in situations of turmoil, when it is unruffled or undisturbed by any outer activity or commotion, then, or in any state of enjoyment or bliss also, if it is like equanimous in both these states, then I feel that is the true nature of peace. Then I think, Raghu, when we understand that peace is there within us, when we strike the right chord, then in any situation, it is always easy for us to understand that it's not somewhere outside but is inside, and we can maintain that state of calmness.
Yeah, we'll be happy and we'll be happy. Calm.
So I'm reminded of one beautiful story of a Sufi saint, wherein the saint is in dhyana, and then disciple comes. He comes running and tells, oh saint, your son has drowned in water. So he's about to die. Then the saint, he looks up, he smiles, and he just allows the disciple to go away. Again after some time, the disciple comes running, and he informs the saint that, oh saint, your son is back to life. Somebody has saved him. And then again, once more the saint closes his eyes and he smiles at the disciple. Now this disciple gets a doubt. See, it's nice that the saint smiled when the news reached that his son is safe. But he didn't understand why the saint was smiling when the news came to him that the son was drowning.
Yeah, even I didn't understand. I am confused.
Yeah. So then he, in all his eagerness and inquisitiveness, he asked the master. So then the sage, he smiles very lovingly, and he starts explaining the disciple. See, when you gave me the message that my son is drowning, I just closed my eyes and I went inside. I found that my mind was not disturbed by the news that came to me. And that gave a smile on my face. In the second case, I went again inside, and there was the same happiness that was there outside me. So in both the cases, I was in a state of balanced mind. So that gave me a lot of peace. So that is the reason of my smile in both the cases, he tells.
So in this case, the saint has As you said, rediscovered is inner peace.
Rediscovered is inner peace. Yes.
Oh, it's so nice. If we just rediscover our inner peace, it's like a win situation always.
Yes.
We will be always happy, even in the world, even in our family, with the problems we are facing, with the troubles around.
Umpteen number of times, actually, Raghu, when we saw Swami himself, in any kind of tough situation also, we always have seen a smile on Swami's face rather than a castor-oil face.
Correct.
Swami always used to keep scolding the boys if they had a castor-oil face in front of Swami. Because if Swami had a face of confusion or turmoil, then so many people would not have got so close to Swami.
Yes, correct. So as we say, Ganesh, this rediscovering our inner peace is for our own happiness.
Yes.
Right? So again, Swami always keeps saying, always be happy, right? In this case also, once for a long-standing devotee, it seems, James Sinclair. So once Swami called him for an interview. In fact, James Sinclair, he was a multi-billionaire. He was very, very rich, extremely rich. He had, it seems, gold mines. Gold mine, diamond mines, I think, something like that. Very rich. So Swami called him for an interview and Swami told, "See, Sinclair, I want something from you." And Sinclair, Mr. Sinclair, he since he was very rich, he thought Swami wants some donation for his project. So he was very ready. "Yes, Swami, anything. I can give you anything." Then Swami said, "See, Sinclair, always be happy." So this is what Swami always expects, right? Always be happy. So to be happy, we should find our inner peace.
Peace, yes. And I think now it's time for us to listen to Swami. Because why peace? The reason for having peace is to be happy.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, both are related to each other. If you are happy, you are peaceful. If you are peaceful, you are happy. So now we'll listen to Swami. And then we'll see what Swami tells about how to go ahead attaining this peace.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, means, how do we become really peaceful?
So we'll be playing a clip from Swami's discourse.
Yes, over to Swami now.
Yes.
What is peace?
Enni kashtamulu vachina, enni dukkamulu vachina, enni badhalu kaligina, kevalam danni sahinchi bharinchi tattukoni nettukoni munduku saginatuvanti vaadu shantini anubhavinchinatuvanti vaadu kaadu.
You cannot say that he is the one of peace who could face, resist all problems and anxieties, losses.
కనుక దీనికి సుఖదుఖే సమే కుత్వారాహోనాభిజయ రెండింటిని కూడా మనం ఏమాత్రం చింతించకూడదు.
వన్ షుడ్ మెయింటైన్ ఈక్వానిమిటీ ఇన్ బోత్ టైమ్స్ ఆఫ్ ప్లెజర్ అండ్ పెయిన్.
సుఖము ఎంత అశాశ్వతమో దుఃఖము అంత అశాశ్వతమే.
ద ప్లెజర్ ఇస్ టెంపరీ సో ఆల్సో పెయిన్.
నైట్ ఎంత అశాశ్వతమో డే కూడాను అంత అశాశ్వతమే.
నైట్ ఇస్ టెంపరీ సో ఆల్సో ద డే.
కనుకనే ప్రతి ఒక్కటి కూడాను కదిలిపోయేటువంటి మేఘములే.
సో ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇస్ ఎ పాసింగ్ క్లౌడ్.
ఏది కూడా సత్యమైనటువంటిది కాదు.
నథింగ్ ఇస్ పర్మనెంట్.
ఈనాడు పౌర్ణమి అని చెప్పిన ఆనందిస్తే రేపటి దినం డార్క్ నైట్ వస్తుంది.
టుడే యూ మే బి హ్యాపీ దట్ టుడే ఇస్ అ ఫుల్ మూన్ డే.
రెండు కూడాను అశాశ్వతములే. రెండు కూడాను అనిత్యములే.
బోత్ ఆర్ ట్రాన్సియెంట్.
అందువల్లే అనిత్యం అసుఖం లోకం.
Therefore, this world is temporary and full of misery. Therefore, the whole world is temporary. Who experiences the eternal joy? Who experiences that eternal bliss? This moment is happy, thereafter is miserable.
శాంతి అనేటువంటిది మన నుండి ఆవిర్భవించాలి కానీ బయట నుండి ప్రవేశించేటువంటిది కాదు.
దేర్ఫోర్ పీస్ షుడ్ కమ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ యూ, నాట్ ఫ్రమ్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
కనుక ప్రతి మానవుడు కూడాను నాకు శాంతి కావాలి, శాంతి కావాలి, శాంతి కావాలి.
ఎవ్రీ పర్సన్ ఆస్క్ దిస్ క్వశ్చన్, ఐ వాంట్.
ఏ విదేశీయుడు వచ్చినప్పటికీ వాట్ యూ వాంట్ అని క్వశ్చన్ వచ్చి, ఐ వాంట్ పీస్, ఐ వాంట్ పీస్, ఐ వాంట్ పీస్.
ఎనీ ఫారినర్ విల్ ఆస్క్ ఫర్ దిస్, ఐ వాంట్ పీస్, ఐ వాంట్.
ఐ వాంట్ పీస్. ఎన్ని పదములు? మూడు పదములు.
హియర్ యూ ఫైండ్ త్రీ వర్డ్స్, ఐ వాంట్ పీస్.
ఐ వాంట్ పీస్.
త్రీ, ఐ వాంట్ పీస్.
ఐ ఈగో.
ఐ ఈగో.
వాంట్ డిజైర్.
వాంట్ డిజైర్.
ఎన్నింటిని తీసే పీస్ అక్కడ రెడీమేడ్ గా ఉంటుంది.
రిమూవ్ ఈగో అండ్ డిజైర్, పీస్ ఇస్ దేర్ రెడీమేడ్.
పీస్ మన వెంటనే ఉంటుంది, జంటనే ఉంటుంది, ఇంటనే ఉంటుంది, కంటనే ఉంటుంది.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ యూ, ఇన్ యూ, ఆల్వేస్
అండ్ అరౌండ్ యూ.
అండ్ అరౌండ్ యూ.
కానీ సర్వత్రా ఉండినటువంటి అంతా కూడా పీసే.
ఎవ్రీవేర్ పీస్ ఇస్ ప్రెసెంట్.
ప్రపంచంలో నుంచి మనకు వచ్చేటువంటి అంతా కూడా పీస్ కాదు, ప్రపంచం అంతా పీసెస్ పీసెస్ పీసెస్.
యూ డోంట్ గెట్ పీస్ ఫ్రమ్ ద ఔటర్ వరల్డ్, యూ ఫైండ్ ఓన్లీ పీస్ ఇస్
కనుక పీస్ మనయందే ఉంటున్నది.
సో పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్.
యు ఆర్ ది ఎంబాడిమెంట్ ఆఫ్ పీస్.
యు ఆర్ ది ఎంబాడిమెంట్.
యు ఆర్ ది ఎంబాడిమెంట్ ఆఫ్ ట్రూత్.
యు ఆర్ ది ఎంబాడిమెంట్.
యు ఆర్ ది ఎంబాడిమెంట్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
యు ఆర్ ది ఎంబాడిమెంట్.
యు ఆర్ ది ఎంబాడిమెంట్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్.
యు ఆర్ ది ఎంబాడిమెంట్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్.
కనుక అట్టి సత్యాన్ని మనం గుర్తించుకున్నప్పుడు అది ఏ శాంతి.
When we recognize the truth, that is real peace.
Raghu, I should tell dear listeners that we are indeed very, very fortunate to have a master, a God like Swami, who so beautifully explains this concept of how to get peace.
Yes, correct.
Rather than, like, take any topic, for example, there is no topic that Swami has not covered in his discourses.
Yes,
right,
very, very true. In fact, in Dwapara Yuga, it was Krishna who gave the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. In similarly, after 5,000 years, we have Swami who is again giving Bhagavad Gita through his divine discourses.
Yes.
There are so many discourses that Swami has given, and Swami has, as you said very rightly, that Swami has covered almost every topic.
Yes. So now, coming back to this concept of who is really peaceful, and how can one really be peaceful? Swami gives a very beautiful formula for this. When somebody comes and asks Swami that, I want peace.
Yes.
And Swami tells, you remove the ego I and the want desire. Mm. Automatically, peace is readily available for you.
Yes. As you can see, the English sentence, I want peace.
Mm.
If you just delete the word I and want, there is what remains is peace. That's
yes.
what Swami means.
Mm.
And I is ego and want is desire. So we have to remove, yes.
So now, taking this concept of Swami, we can try to analyze and try to think how we can actually attain this peace.
Correct. So let's start with desires first.
Mm.
So desires, Swami says we should remove desires.
Okay.
Raghu, not exactly remove desires, but be have less desires, right? So first let's discuss why we should have less desires.
Okay. People actually misunderstand that having no desires, okay, to having less desires.
Correct. Swami didn't mean have no desires. Swami meant have less desires, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Have a ceiling on your desires.
Mm. For example, if we take why we should not have more desires. Swami always stressed on this point of ceiling on desires, right? So we take an example of two youth. Okay, supposing a person who is working in company A has a salary of 30,000 rupees. Okay, the youth who is working in a company called B, he has a salary of 1 lakh rupees per month. So B has the capacity to buy a costlier car than A.
Correct.
A can also buy a car, but according to his standard, he can buy a car.
Mm.
He can lead a life that is suitable to his 30,000 salary. And the person B, who gets a 1 lakh rupee salary, can devise his life around the salary which he gets. See, as per your income, you can make or design your lifestyle or plan your life.
Yes.
See, what Swami gives the beautiful example of the shoe. This absolutely fits into this ceiling on desires.
Mm.
Because Swami tells, if you wear a shoe, you go to a shop and take a shoe. If the shoe is bigger than the size which your foot is, you cannot walk comfortably. Even if the shoe size is smaller than your actual size, it starts pinching your feet.
Yes.
So in the same way, if you are happy with what you have, and if you are adjusting with what you are earning,
yes,
then automatically things will be very smooth and happy with the contentment which you have by what you gain.
Yeah. Very true. At the end of the day, what is important is we should get a good sleep. It doesn't matter on how costly our bed is, right?
Yes, yes.
Is our bed made of cotton or is our bed made of some gold?
Mm.
What matters is we should get a good sleep.
Mm.
So as you said about the shoe, so even how the shoe size should be.
It's
even,
not small size or large size, it's the correct size.
Even our desires should also be like that. It should not be too much. We should have control over desires. Swami says, always be moderate. Go in the middle path. Not too much is also not good, too less also is not good. In fact, it seems once in Swami's institute, a student had done a project and he took this topic as topic for his project, that is how to get peace and happiness.
Okay.
So at the end of the project, he equated peace and happiness to a mathematical formula.
Okay.
Like a fraction. So he said, peace and happiness is equal to one fraction.
Numerator and the denominator.
Yeah, a fraction has got numerator and denominator. So he said, numerator is the number of desires fulfilled.
Okay.
And denominator will be having the number of desires entertained.
Okay.
Like we have so many desires in our life, but we won't be able to fulfill all the desires. In fact, that is a rat race which
people run after.
Yeah, which people run after. That is fulfilling the entertained desires. So if we see, normally the number of desires entertained will be more than the number of desires fulfilled. So suppose the fraction is 7 by 10. Okay. Or 6 by 10. So the number of desires entertained is 10. Number of desires fulfilled is 6.
Okay.
So if the fraction is 6 by 10, the peace and happiness is 60%.
60%, yes.
Now what the person will do, he wants to make the 60% into 100%.
Okay.
So he will try to, he has got 4 unfulfilled desires. So he will try to fulfill them.
He has 2 options. He can either increase the numerator or decrease the denominator.
Yeah. So he will try to fulfill the 4 unfulfilled desires. And meanwhile, what the student found was something very interesting. He found that when he tries to fulfill the other 4 desires, the denominator also increases.
Okay, interesting.
So if from 6, if he tries to increase the numerator from 6 to 8, he found that the denominator invariably increased from 10 to 15.
Okay.
So it became 8 by 6, it became something like 8 by 16. Let's keep 8 by 16. So the happiness decreased actually
It's just 50%.
Yeah, happiness decreased. So, the student found another interesting fact. So, as you said, there are 2 ways. One is increasing the numerator. And the student found the other way to decrease the denominator.
Okay.
So, if it is 6 by 10, now if you have 4 unfulfilled desires, if you just
delete
those 4, 6 by 6, it's 100. Then the happiness will become 100%. In fact, he also found a very, very interesting thing that if the denominator tends towards 0, then the fraction tends towards infinity.
Okay. Oh, amazing analogy.
Yeah. So if we have no desires, then we have infinite happiness and peace of mind.
So, as Swami tells, when we keep observing that when we have a desire in our heart or our mind, when we satisfy one desire, it is the natural tendency of the heart or mind to develop one more desire.
Correct.
So, but what Swami tells, the beautiful idea which he gives is, you just deny the mind to get the desire satisfied. Okay. Supposing you are eating cakes. If you are having 5 cakes in front of you, if you are satisfied eating one cake, end there. If there is a thought that, oh, this cake is nice, I have to go to the second cake. When that extra point comes, stop. Remove the other 4 cakes and end with the cake which you have eaten. Then that gives an impression to the mind that enough is enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the desire doesn't arise that I should have the next one. So when we start controlling rather than controlling, we have to controlling the desire. Then that will give us an opportunity to have more peace.
Yeah.
What do you say, Raghu?
Correct. Absolutely true. In fact, as you said, we will try to have more cakes. So it's like we will be greedy. And so actually it takes to our next point where...
Contentment and satisfaction.
Satisfaction. Comes. And we should not be greedy about possessing more and more. In fact...
In the idea of this contentment and satisfaction, as Swami beautifully tells, if you are happy with what you are having, then automatically the sense of satisfaction and contentment comes.
Yeah, actually, at this juncture, I would like to share one nice story that I found in internet. It's about one businessman will go to a beach. And he will be relaxing in the beach in the morning. And he will see that one fisherman, he will come with his boat to the beach and he will be going towards his house. Then this businessman will stop that fisherman and he will start a conversation. He'll ask the businessman will ask the fisherman, so what are you doing, etc. Then the fisherman said, see, this morning I went to the sea, I caught few fishes, and these are a dozen of fishes that I caught. So the businessman will ask, oh, is this fish enough? Then he will say, yeah, there is enough for my family, and now I am going home and I will play with my children. Later I will help my wife in the
household
chores, and in the afternoon I will take a nap, and in the evening I will go out with my friends and spend some time in the village, and I will come back late in the night and sleep. Now the businessman, listening to the fisherman's routine, daily routine, he gives him an idea. He says, see, I have done a PhD in business management, so I will give you some ideas and tips because of which you can make your life successful. Then fisherman says, okay, tell. Then this businessman says, see, now you take so less time to fishing. In the day you take so less time fishing. Instead of that, you spend more time fishing. Then the fisherman will ask, okay, so what? What will happen? Then the businessman will say, dude, if you fish more, you can... earn more, and because of that you can buy a bigger boat. Then fisherman will ask, okay, I'll buy a bigger boat, what will happen with that? Then the businessman,
what next?
Yeah, then the businessman will say, with that you can fish even more, you can go deep into the sea and fish even more bigger fishes. You can sell them, you can earn lot of money, you can become rich, you can shift your house from this village to the city, and you can maybe start a new business, and you can become a millionaire. And so now the fisherman will ask, okay, how much time it will take for me to do all this? Then the businessman will say, maybe about 25-30 years. And then the businessman will say, after you become old, then you can retire, and then you can come to this village again. You can as a hobby, you can fish little bit, go home, play with the children, help your wife in household chores, take a nap in the afternoon, and spend some time with your friends. Then what fisherman said will really puzzle the businessman. He'll say, sir, this is what I'm doing right now. So the fisherman will be content with his life.
Yes, very much.
So it is contentment which is important. As Swami says, we should not go behind the possessions and money and physical comforts in our life. Swami says that if we go behind all this, then it will give us only pieces instead of peace.
It will spoil the state of your mind, the state of tranquility of your mind. As beautifully we have seen this, when we see all around us, we always observe people wanting more than what they have.
Correct.
Okay. Supposing a man builds a house, he always, after some time, wants to build a second floor on his house.
Correct.
And after some time, when his family increases, he wants to build a third floor. or rather take one more house.
In fact, even if family doesn't increase, they want to
grow more and more.
Grow more and more because they will think of future about their children.
Yes. And in the process, they are losing time to contemplate upon themselves and understand what is there in them. So then, in that process, they lose the peace of mind. They try to... See, Raghu, when we observe a lot of people, we find that when there is comparison between you and another person, then the problem starts.
Yes.
See, if you take the example of Kauravas and Pandavas, as you were telling that the greed, even when Kauravas were having lot of riches, Duryodhana never came forward to offer even a single pinhead area of land to the Pandavas.
Correct.
So with his greed, he got ruined.
Yeah.
He lost his peace of mind. He always had the idea of how to protect my wealth, how to make it more. He wanted to expand. In the process, he lost himself and he lost his peace.
In fact, when you are saying Duryodhana just wanted to expand, I just remembered this Leo Tolstoy's story. In that story, a man, he wanted some few acres of land, so he goes to a king to ask for few acres of land for cultivation. So the king will be very large-hearted. He will say, okay, come tomorrow morning during sunrise. And at the time of sunrise, you start walking in the fields. As much as you can trek throughout the day, you go. But there's that much land is for you. But there's a condition that at the sunset you should be back.
Okay.
Back to the palace. So as much land you trek, that much land is for you. So next day early morning this man will come and he'll start walking. He'll start trekking and he'll be very happy. I've covered so many kilometers of land. But when he sees that he has already covered so much kilometers, the greed develops.
Okay.
The greed in him develops.
Some more.
Yeah, he says, come on, let me trek some more. Anyhow, I've got a couple of more hours to go back. I will manage somehow. So he starts walking. And later he finds that it has become too late in the evening. So now he treks back to the palace. He starts running, but unfortunately he couldn't make it. And it is said that in between he collapses and dies. So at the end of the story, what they say is, the man wanted land, and how much land he got was six feet by four feet, just to bury his body, you know.
Yes, very
so
much.
So it is greed which really ruined him. Instead of being greedy, he could control his desire and have a nice piece of land from the king.
Actually, this reminds me of an incident in Kodai that happened in 2005 when a group of boys were accompanying Swami. Halfway through the trip, it was almost 1 week that we had stayed in Swami's divine presence. And Swami, one evening session, he told boys, it's been a long time since we had come. I think it's now time for us to go back to Parthi. All devotees are waiting there for me. Then boys felt very bad, and obviously if you have to leave the physical presence of Swami, it's so difficult.
Yeah, and Kodaikanal,
that you can imagine the plight of the boys.
Correct.
And then all boys were deeply, they were feeling sad.
Yeah, feeling sad, correct.
So next day what happened, Swami came in the afternoon for the session. All the boys along with me, we were all putting castor oil faces and we were looking down, and we were not enjoying that moment with Swami. Then Swami sat and he told all of us, why are you all looking so sad and disturbed? Then we told Swami, we are going back. Then Swami told, see, you are not happy that you have got 1 week of opportunity to stay with Swami in such close proximity. And you are thinking of the future, that you are going away from here and losing the happiness that you have gained through this 1 week.
Hmm.
And then he told one very pertinent point. He told, how lucky are you boys? Because outside, in the cold, in the heat, there are lots of devotees who are waiting to just have a glimpse of Swami.
Hmm.
When you think of them, you can count how much blessed you are.
Yeah.
And that was a very, very important lesson for all of us, that in that moment, if you live, if you enjoy the present, and if you are happy with what you are having with you, then automatically you will be very peaceful.
We should always count our blessings and think of the happy days that we have spent.
We should always feel a sense of, express a sense of gratitude to God with whatever He has given us.
Yeah, we should be satisfied. In fact, here in this case, just as Swami was saying, be happy with what you have got, what proximity you have got. If we see like that, in earlier ages, there were saints and sages who meditated, did penance for years together to get just a glimpse of the Lord. And here, we really, it's a real blessing that we got so much proximity with Swami.
Actually, as Swami tells, the natural state of man is to be peaceful. And is, but man gets troubled by the monkey mind. That's what man keeps complaining to God. But we have a very beautiful experience of one of our senior brothers who happened to be in an interview with Swami. Then Swami asked him, "Yemi samacharam?" when he was in the interview, in his close proximity. Then the boy tells Swami that, "Swami, my mind is troubling me a lot. Okay, I'm having lot of bad thoughts. Lots of bad thoughts are coming to me."
Because of that, he is not getting peace.
He's not getting peace.
He's not happy.
He's not happy. So in even in the divine presence, he is not feeling that sense of bliss.
My God.
Then he can find nowhere. But then Swami tells, wait. See, you bad thoughts are not running after you. They are not coming to you. You are going towards the bad thoughts. And a beautiful comparison Swami gives there. He picks up his handkerchief and it's, as everybody knows, Swami uses pure crystal white hankies.
Yes, very true.
Then he opens up the napkin like that and he tells, see, the natural state of mind is as pure as this handkerchief, which is pure white. It's very, very serene. Then in those days, Swami used to chew paan a lot. So what Swami did was, he picked up the handkerchief and he wiped his mouth. Then automatically the stains of that paan came on the kerchief.
Okay.
So then Swami showed the stains to the boy and he told, see, your mind is like this, and when you start using the mind, when you start disturbing it, the dirt comes on the mind. So then he gives a beautiful solution to the boy. You give the mind to me.
Okay.
See, when dirt comes on a cloth, what you give?
You give it to the dhobi. Yeah, for washing.
For washing. So the dhobi puts detergent and he cleans the entire white cloth.
And gives
and he makes it pure white back again and gives it back to you. There Swami tells, Sira, I am your dhobi.
Wow.
Give your mind to me.
Mm-hmm.
I will cleanse it and give it back to you.
Oh, nice.
See, the natural state of mind is always serene and calm. Only that when we start dropping the rocks or small pebbles of thoughts and desires in our mind, that it gets disturbed and ripples are formed. So once ripples are formed, it continuously makes other ripples and it continues to the end of the shore.
Well, Swami very easily told, give your mind to me.
Yes.
Now, I have a question.
Yes.
How to give our mind to Swami?
What I feel is, if we are in constant contemplation of our dear Lord,
okay,
so remembering His name and recollecting His form in our hearts will always give a chance for us. Rather, that is the only way that we can give our mind to Him.
Always listen to Swami's stories. Always think about Him.
Yes.
Always be in satsang. Be in a good company. Right?
So, replace our desires with desires for God.
Nice.
So instead of desiring for the world, if you desire for God and His love, automatically the level of peace increases. What do you tell, Raghu?
Yeah, very true. That's what Ivan Swami says.
Mm.
Desires, we keep getting desires. That is also a natural tendency.
Mm.
But we should replace our desires. Alternate. We should find alternate desires.
Mm.
Spiritual desires.
Yes.
That is to desire to be with Swami always.
Mm.
Even to think about Him, Swami should will it, right?
Mm.
So desire to
See.
Always think about Swami and always desire to listen to Swami's stories.
Mm. See, as previously our Venkatraman sir was telling about the four Purusharthas, which are the goals of human life.
Okay, what are the identities?
Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha.
Okay.
Okay, so then these are the four Purusharthas. Swami never tells that ignore them. Okay, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Don't take it separately. If you have pairs, then the life will work out more in a positive direction. He tells Dharma and Artha means earn wealth in the process of Dharma in a dharmic way. And Kama and Moksha, you have a desire, but you desire for Moksha, for attainment of your ultimate goal of life. So this is what Swami tells about what kind of desire you have to encourage in your heart.
Mm.
The Kama for Moksha should be more than the Kama for all these worldly activities and worldly things.
Okay. Mm. Very nice.
Mm.
In fact, Ganesh Swami in the clip said, I want peace.
Mm.
And Swami says, remove I and want.
Mm.
So want is desire, I is ego. I think now we have almost spoken elaborately on removing our desires or having a ceiling on desires.
Mm.
So what do you think? Shall we spill over to next week for talking further, and we can
actually this idea of I want peace, it cannot be finished in one episode, because we need to cover a lot of points about how we can reduce our ego. So then the processes that Swami tells us, and I think we can cover that particular concept in the next episode.
Mm.
About how to remove our ego. So the different steps that Swami tells. So we can cover that in the next episode.
So today what we have discussed is to be peaceful, we should have less desires, be contented and happy with our life, be satisfied, and don't be greedy. In fact, talking about to be contented and happy with our life, I will quickly share one nice story that I came across. It seems once there was a father and son, and father wanted to show his son how poor the villagers are, the living condition of the villagers. So he took his son to a village nearby, and they stayed there for a couple of weeks, and father showed his son around, took his son around and showed the lifestyle of the villagers. And they came back to their house.
Mm.
Then the father asked his son, so son, what have you learnt? Then what the son says is very amazing. He says, Dad, we have one dog at our house, but the villagers have four dogs.
Mm.
We have a small pool in our garden, but the villagers, they have got a river which is endless.
Mm.
We have got few imported lanterns in our garden, but they have the stars at night.
Mm.
We have servants to serve us, but they serve others.
Mm.
We buy our food, but they grow theirs.
Mm.
We have walls around our property to protect us, and they have friends to protect them.
Mm.
And further the son says, thanks Dad for showing us how poor we are.
Okay.
So it is contentment that is most precious treasure.
Mm.
He who has greater satisfaction in the Swami says, he who has greater satisfaction in life is the richest man.
Mm.
He who is filled with desires is the poorest man in the world.
Yes. The man with less desires is more richer and peaceful than a man who has lots of desires which makes him poor.
Yeah. So, and also we discussed on not being greedy. In fact, Ganesh, you are talking about that story, the Midas touch.
Midas touch, yes.
Midas touch.
Everyone knows about this story wherein the king Midas is a Greek king who is all rich, and he has a magician in his court, and he calls for the magician and tells her, see, whatever I touch should become gold.
Oh, my God.
That is the order that he gives the magician. Mm. So the court magician, he obviously obeys his master and he tells her, so be it. So whatever you touch from now on will become gold.
Mm-hmm.
So then the king Midas starts touching the plates, the tumblers and the walls, and everything becomes gold.
Wow.
So finally he feels hungry after some time.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sits near the food. And then once he touches his plate, the food in the plate also becomes gold.
Oh my God.
So he could not eat. So he suffers and suffers, and finally he calls out to his daughter. Oh daughter, please feed me some food. So then he calls out to his daughter, and daughter comes running. So he wants to hug his daughter. But then as he is hugging the daughter, he touches the daughter. So then she also becomes gold.
Oh, really?
So because of the greed for gold, he loses his daughter also. So he understands his mistake and asks the magician to get back to the normal way of living. So this is a very, very big lesson for all of us who are craving for more and more.
Yeah.
So whenever we feel that we are having less, we just have to look back and see people who are having lesser than us.
Correct.
That will give a sense of satisfaction and contentment for us to carry on with our lives and be happy with what we have. What do you say, Raghu?
Yes, very true, very true. In fact, we can end our discussion at this point. So next week we'll continue, Ganesh.
Yes.
So dear listeners, as today we'll be... Today we will be concluding here. The time in our studio is 12:22. And we hope you all have benefited from our discussion. And please send us your comments and suggestions and any questions if you have any. In fact, you are also a participant in this discussion. Please send us your views on this fifth flower that we should offer to Lord, that is Shanti and Peace. You can write us, you can reach us by writing to our email ID, that is listener@radiosai.org. So in a while from now at 12:30, you will be joined by the afternoon satsang team, brothers Prem and Arvind. Till then, please listen to few songs, and we place this segment at Bhagwan's lotus feet and take your leave. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
The incessant flow of worship to Krishna was Radha's very life. In thoughts of Krishna, she was forever lost. His form danced before her eyes every moment, wakeful and dream. The blue hues of the gurgling Yamuna reminded her of Krishna's charming complexion. The merry chirping of birds stirred in her memories of Krishna's mischievous chuckles. In Vrindavan, when Krishna would play upon his flute, her days passed like moments, filling every moment with that memory she spent her days. All that stood between Krishna and Radha's union was her mortal frame. The day finally came when even that would seamlessly slip away.
Vakka korika korindi papam Radha.
Radha had one desire.
నాకింకేమి వద్దు స్వామి.
ఐ డోంట్ వాంట్ ఎనీథింగ్ మోర్ స్వామి.
నీ మురళిని ఒక్కతూరి వాయించండి, నేను వింటాను చాలు.
ఐ వాంట్ టు లిసన్ టు యువర్ ఫ్లూట్.
పాట పాడు మా కృష్ణ పరుకుతేనే అనుకున్నట్టు.
యు సింగ్ ద గ్లోరీ అండ్ ద మెలడీ సో దట్ అవర్ హార్ట్స్ ఆర్ ఫుల్.
పాట పాడు మా కృష్ణ పలుకుతేనే లోలుకు. Thank you.
పాట పాడేటప్పటికి వినింది,
షీ హర్డ్,
ప్రాణం విడిచింది,
షీ బ్రీథ్ హర్ లాస్ట్.
ప్రాణం విడిచడమే కాకుండా ఆనాటి నుంచి కూడా మురళిని పట్టడం కూడా మానివేశారు.
సిన్స్ దెన్ కృష్ణ డిడ్ నాట్ పికప్ దట్ ఫ్లూట్ అగైన్.
రాధాకు ఈ యొక్క మురళిని త్యాగం చేశాడు.
హి సాక్రిఫైస్డ్ హిస్ ఫ్లూట్ ఫర్ హర్.
ఆ గానంను త్యాగం చేశాడు.
అండ్ దెన్ ద మెలడీ టు
నట్ట కడపటి పాట కృష్ణుడు ఇది ఒక్కటే చెప్పింది.
ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ దిస్ వాజ్ ద లాస్ట్ సాంగ్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ.
రాధ చాలా గొప్ప భక్తురాలు.
రాధ ఇస్ అన్ ఆర్డెంట్ డివోటీ.
కనుకనే భక్తికి అంత గొప్ప విలువనిచ్చారు.
డివోషన్ ఇస్ హైలీ వాల్యుబుల్.
ఇట్టి భక్తిని ఆనాటి నుంచి గోపికలు జగత్తును వ్యాప్తి గావించేటట్టుగా అనేక ప్రచార ప్రపంచములు చేస్తూ వచ్చారు.
దిస్ ప్రిన్సిపల్ ఆఫ్ డివోషన్ హాస్ బీన్ టాట్ అండ్ షేర్డ్ అండ్ ప్రొపగేటెడ్ బై దిస్ గోపికాస్.
जिसके सर पर हाथ हो तेरा कौन बिगाड़े उसकी हर पल उसके साथ है बाबा, हर पल रक्षा उसकी। सब दुख दूर करे साई नाम सुमिरन जो भी करे, यही नाम सब दुख दूर करे। भव सागर से पार उतारे, जन्म जन्म के पाप हरे, यही नाम सब दुख दूर करे। साई राम साई राम साई राम साई राम। कोई मनोरथ मन में बसाए, तुम्हारी शरण जो आए, मनोरथ मन में बसाए, तुम्हारी शरण जो आए। इन चरणों में मन चाहा फल, बिन मांगे मिल जाए। साई बिगड़ी बात सवारे, सुख संपत्ति भंडार भरे, यही नाम सब दुख दूर करे। साई राम साई राम साई राम साई राम। तीर्थ धाम हमारा, हम साई के पुजारी। परति तीर्थ धाम हमारा, हम साई के पुजारी। साई बाबा इस धरती पर शिव शक्ति अवतारी, जब हो सर पे साया तुम्हारा, जब हो सर पे साया तुम्हारा, जब हो सर पे साया तुम्हारा, कौन किसी विपदा से डरे, यही नाम सब दुख दूर करे। साई राम साई राम साई राम साई राम।
ओम साई जय साई श्री साई जय साई, ओम साई जय साई श्री साई जय साई।
साई गंगा साई जमुना साई मथुरा काशी, साई तो है घट घट वासी अजर अमर अविनाशी। साई नाम ब्रह्मा साई नाम विष्णु, साई नाम शिव शंकर,